Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. We were supposed to have candles here, you know, the fire. But there's also a text which says, do not tempt the Lord thy God. And I don't think in this wind that the fire would last very long. Who knows? Maybe it would have been a miracle for us. But anyway, I want us to get out our right mind, right? The one that's really associated more with the imagination. And we want to use our imaginations a little bit here. The Acts of the Apostles talks about this gift of the Holy Spirit as consisting of tongues as of fire, or if you want, like fire. So right there, it's not saying that the gift of tongues or the speaking a language is necessarily literally a fire. It's like fire, as if it were something that is filled with fire. The language there. So the gift of the Holy Spirit filled with fire. And of course, this image of associating the Holy Spirit with fire is something which is typical in Scripture very, very much. You know, fire and God go together very much. I'm thinking here of, for example, Psalm 28, verse 7. The psalm says, the voice of the Lord flashes forth in flames of fire. And we know from reading the Gospel of Luke, for example, that Jesus talks about being baptized with the Spirit and with fire. And then you can go back and think of the burning bush and all of those kinds of things. So fire, God, fire, Spirit, they're interrelated realities. And I personally think, I can't hold you to this, but I do think it would be, if it's consonant, in consonance with our theological Christian tradition, that even though you can't say the Holy Spirit is fire in a literal sense of the word, you could say that the Holy Spirit and God works through fire, just as God came among us as a human being, and works through human beings and works through nature. There's no reason why we can't say that God doesn't work through fire. So, and there is a kind of like the spiritual tradition talks about, you know, we have our physical senses, hearing, tasting, seeing, smelling, touching, and so on. And the spiritual tradition talks about the spiritual senses. That is, that somehow God works through our senses. And so there's a spiritual sense of touching, a spiritual sense of smelling, hearing, tasting, feeling, and so on, which works perhaps through, like for example, you think about your heart. And that's another great symbol in Scripture, the heart. And there's a physical heart, a biological heart, but heart also could like symbolize the deepest parts of our of what we are as human beings. And God, and you know, for example, if you fall in love with somebody, you all remember this, you can go back this far, all of you, and you know how your heart aches a little bit when you're in love with somebody. It's a physical reality. You just are, your heart is throbbing. So it's physical, but it's also emotional and spiritual. I remember when, Pat, you're going to get embarrassed now, but that's okay. When I fell in love with her, we were living in Menlo Park, California. And I remember after I guess I had proposed to you. And I remember walking down the streets of Menlo Park, California, you know, and so on, and going by all these stores. And, you know, you look into the store windows and, you know, you see this and you see that. You see this dress and you see that ring and you see whatever, you know, and so on. And I remember going, looking at those things, and it was funny. Each thing to me was, it wasn't just like a dress or a shoe or a ring or a pearl or something. It was a gift for her. So my eyes saw one thing, And yet there was a spiritual eye which saw something else too at the same time through the physical eye, something like that. So today we're invited then to think about the flame of the Holy Spirit and how that flame might operate in our lives. And the gospel talks about ways in which this flame of the Holy Spirit shows up in our lives. One of the ways in which the gospel talks about this is that the advocate of truth will come. And because the advocate of truth will come, who is the Spirit, it'll have an effect upon us. One of the effects it'll have upon us is this, is that it will enable us to testify, to be witnesses to the Spirit of truth, to Jesus. So, obviously you can think of the martyrs. The martyrs, this gift of the Holy Spirit was so strong in the martyrs that they weren't afraid to testify to the truth of Jesus, no matter what the cost. It was, you know, even if it was going to be death, testify, do it. So, but I was thinking, you know, kind of on a, most of us would probably not want to think of ourselves in such exalted terms as being called to martyrdom, although we're all called to be a witness, and being a martyr means being a witness. That's what the word martyr means, is witness. So we're supposed to be witnessing to Jesus. And when we witness, that's the gift of the Holy Spirit at work within us. But I think one of the ways in which that happens is through our heart. There's like a, we have like a radar. We have like a spiritual radar for the truth of Christ in us, built into us. I believe that even the most, what we think are the most God-forsaken people, the people who are the most, who we look at and we think of them as so absolutely closed to God, that they'd like to have no conscience. They will just lie, cheat, kill. And we say to them, they have no conscience. But I believe they do have a conscience. They have the radar of the Spirit within their hearts. And because it is so strongly trying to tell them to act in a different way, they try all the more frantically to snuff out that fire. The more frantic they act, the more that's the sign that their conscience is alive within them, prodding them, telling them, listen to your heart. Don't snuff it out. Be attentive. So we all have that. You have that. I have that. We need to trust that heart of ours and not run from it, but be thankful for it. And if it's throbbing. Maybe one of the reasons why it bothers us so much is because we're not listening to it enough. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we call the Spirit of Truth. You know, in John's Gospel, the Spirit's called Spirit of Truth. And we talk in our, you know, truth. We have problems with the truth. Well, everybody has problems with the truth, right? If you, for example, if you're sitting down and you're talking with your wife, you guys talking with your wives, or you wives talking with your husbands. But I think it happens more often when the wives are talking to the husbands. But I could be wrong. Or you young children, when you're talking to your parents, or vice versa, because kids can really pick up falsity too real fast. Boom, you know how that is. They can smell it a mile away, right away. And you know how it is. We start to talk, and our wife says, you know, you do this. You know, you have this habit. You do this. You say this. And blah, 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 you know. Oh, no. We don't want to hear it. But it's being talked to us, so it's kind of difficult sometimes to listen. And one of the reasons why truth is so hard to listen to and to recognize and to admit, I think, is because our heart is not receptive to it. We're not open to it. I mean, truth is at least the more profound truths, sometimes even the less profound truths. If you're in a bad mood, it's beautiful out here today, right? Just beautiful, gorgeous. And you might say to somebody, "That's beautiful out here." And somebody who's in a bad mood will say, "What's beautiful about it?" See how our spiritual state influences what we can recognize. Even on a very simple level. You'd think that'd be a very simple thing to recognize. It's beautiful. The wind is, it's nice and breezy. There's hardly any humidity. The trees are, there's nothing. It's because our spiritual attitude influences what we can accept as truth. Now, take that simple thing about the trees and the wind and how nice it is and start talking about something more profound, like the truth of our value system, what we really believe in, things that really require real, or like if somebody's trying to talk to you about your limitations. That's hard to face and deal with. And so our first tendency often is going to be to reject that because we have to have an attitude of openness. But that's not easy to do. So truth is not an easy thing to accept sometimes. And it requires work. And that's the gift of the Holy Spirit, working on us, keeping us, trying to keep us open. So anyway, that's one thing I wanted to mention too. The other thing about... So in that case, then, I guess the image would be fire as a kind of burning, or if you might, the spiritual parallel to that would be the aching of our heart. The heart is aching for the truth, and it will not be satisfied until it finds the truth and opens itself to the truth, no matter how hard that might be. Then another thing about fire that I want to mention to you, this is, I think, another gift of the Holy Spirit, and this is talked about it in Scripture here as well. Jesus talks about the Spirit will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. In other words, the Spirit is an accuser. We don't like to hear that kind of word. The Spirit is an accuser. We don't like that so much. But think about it now. Fire, one of the other functions of fire. I remember once making a retreat at a monastery, a Carmelite monastery in San Jose, California. And I remember the Carmelite priest came out, and he looked like the prophet Elijah. He had a beard going all the way down. And he starts by saying, "God is a fire." I was in a really good mood until then. God is a fire. And most of you and most of us spend our lives just close enough to the fire to enjoy the warmth, but far enough away so that it can't really change us. We like the warmth of God, but we don't want to get too close. Lest the fire purify. One of the things fires do is they purify, they sear. Purify and sear. And there's a little bit of pain involved in that. That's another gift of the Holy Spirit. Get closer to the fire. Get closer. Let it do its purifying work. It's like mercurochrome. These ointments we put on sometimes that sting a little bit. Get closer. It's okay. The long end of the fire. And then the last thing I want to say here, the gospel text says the Spirit will guide you into all truth. So there is where we needed our candles, the light, The Spirit in Christ has a light that guides us. So, when you go home, and maybe if you can take a few minutes to think about what you've celebrated today, light a candle. Maybe if you're going to soak in the tub tonight, which is fine to do, light a candle. We always light a candle when we soak in the tub. Why is that? Anyway, But when you light that candle, you think about some of these images of the fire, but end with this positive image of, you know, the light as a guide. It lights the path for us. So we know that we're being guided down the path. Because it can get kind of tough to do some of the things that the scripture is talking to us about today. But there's the guide, the light, the guide that's there that will guide us. Amen.